Hi guys, welcome to another episode of the Wheat Podcast, where we delve into conversations that make you ponder and wonder, what is that? So this is another episode where I'm going to be reflecting on 32 lessons in the 32 years of my life, recently turned 32. And I like to take some time to just reflect on what have I learned so far, kind of do an audit and share. Maybe you will resonate with something here. Let me know if you resonate with anything. Maybe you learn from something. I believe you can always learn from someone, no matter their age. Even the younger people will teach you something. So here are 32 things I've learned so far. Some I'm going to expound, some I'm not going to go deeper into it because they are self-explanatory. Yeah, let's jump right into it. Number one, invest in yourself. If there is a year that I took time to just invest in myself, it's last year. I decided to purposefully invest in myself. And it's important to do so, especially if you're feeling burnout, if you're feeling lost, if you're feeling a bit confused with what direction you need to take. That's your wake-up call that you probably need to invest in yourself in that area. So ways that I invested in myself last year have really paid off, especially in things that I'm continuously doing. For example, I did life coaching sessions for the first time with a very amazing life coach. And I was just stuck as to what direction my life was going. I felt like I was all over the place. But she was able to really gather my thoughts, help me create a plan and a purpose. Like, and even when I feel lost, I go back to that plan, look at it, and get re-energized as to the direction I'm taking. Another valuable thing I did last year was do financial classes. I didn't know I was really bad at money until a friend pointed it out. I would not have taken it well if it came from my husband, but both of them agreed I needed a money coach. And we delved deeper into my money habits and why we act like that. And I was able to make so much progress with how I moved forward. Another thing I did was branding sessions, which really changed my mind as a content creator, as a business owner. You might be so immersed in working with other people and not really identifying yourself and your purpose. So when I did branding sessions with a company called Build and Rebuild, they really, really changed and shifted my mindset in ways I cannot explain enough. But I would tell you, invest in yourself, like it all comes back. When it comes to physically, I decided to take my physical health into my hands. Like I went for swimming, cycling. I was looking for activities that are fun for me and can make me physically fit. So I really invested in myself. I got a bike as a gift. I love cycling. I went for swimming classes. I perfected the skill. And that even gave me confidence to pour back into my son, who was two at that time, to go for swimming classes. So if there's a lesson here, invest in yourself. I also went for a podcast masterclass and it was very eye-opening. There are things I knew and just going for that class affirmed them and gave me like direction. So point number one, invest in yourself. You'll never regret. Number two, plan your damn birthday. Stop leaving so much power into the hands of people. Be in charge. If you want to go somewhere for your birthday, plan it. Like I don't know why in my 20s I was a bit lax about hoping to be surprised. And then my 30th came, there was a big bash that really wasn't me. It was just my husband's personality. In fact, he says that was his best birthday. And I gave away so much power. And I was like, I could have planned my birthday. So what I learned from that time is just plan your day. It's your big day. How you want to spend it, plan it. Be very specific and you will enjoy. I planned my 31st birthday, saved up, went for a staycation to a very nice place. It was so nice. Like it still remains one of my best birthdays. So take control, take your power back, plan those important days that are for you. Number three, show up in a way you know, is best for you. What I mean by this is, don't show up in a way that people are showing up, because that's how people are showing up. So, for example, there was a time in my 20s, I was kind of obsessed with the fact that fitness equals gym. And going to the gym meant going to the gym in the morning, because that's when people are posting, hey, have you gone to the gym? Have you worked out? And I was struggling. Personally, I don't get those endorphins or whatever, good feel hormones in the morning that people talk about, how they've worked out, their energies for the day. For me, if I work out in the morning, I'm going back to bed. So I had to make peace with myself that that's just not me. If I was to go to the gym and I go to the gym in the evening, it worked way better for me. So my point is, show up in a way that you feel is best for you, not just for others. Number four, learn how to navigate conflict. It's a part of life. It's normal. Stop escaping it. Face it. Just learn how to maturely navigate it without losing so many relationships. Number five, do it afraid. So last year, as much as I invested in myself, I found that I was so scared to do the things that my mind had conceived. Like, I had so many ideas from the coaching sessions that I attended, but I was too afraid, to a point that at the end of the year, I was looking at my notebook. In fact, it's this notebook. All the ideas I got from my sessions, I hadn't implemented so many of them. But this year, I decided this is the year I'm doing it, and I'm doing it afraid, no matter how scary it looks. So I just finished my first workshop, legal workshop for content creators, and I did it afraid. I'm telling you, it's not as easy as it may have looked online. Planning it, confirming attendance, pushing people to even attend. Oh my God, it was crazy. At some point, you want to just call it quits, have an excuse that this workshop is canceled. But the fact that I did it, the feeling is so out of this world. So do it afraid, then do an audit later and then see what can be done better. But I'm telling you, you'll be full of regret if you don't do it. So do it anyway, but do it afraid. Number six, look at rejection as redirection. I don't know if it happens to everyone that there's a point in your life you might experience rejection. And it may hurt. It may hurt really deep. In my career, I think I've experienced it, but in subtle ways. But then in a big way, it happened when I turned 30, and it really set me back. It really put me down. I was working with a brand and we really fell off just because of some issues that I wouldn't get into. But then I looked at it like rejection, and it put me down. But slowly by slowly, I picked up myself and redirected my energy towards even working with smaller brands. And I found so much great, so much fulfillment in working with so many small brands and building them and building each other. So the key lesson was, rejection is often redirection. And sometimes it just means not now. It doesn't mean never. And sometimes it's just God leading you. Can you try another way? Number seven, you really teach people how they should treat you. And this is something I've learned from my close friends. I have at least three people in my life who are extremely, extremely time conscious people. And because they have been vocal about it, those are the people I will never be late when I'm meeting. Very rarely will I be late when I'm meeting them. And I have really learned from that experience with those people that you really teach people how they should treat you. If you accept mediocre, then you will forever be treated the same way. So teach people to also treat you the way you want to be treated. Number eight, accept your weakness and work on them. Be honest with yourself that I'm weak in this area and I need to work on it. This is something I also learned from the same people from the previous point, that I have a really big issue with timekeeping when it comes, like it was chronic, it was really bad, and communication. So I faced it, like, this is the year I consciously decided to work on, can I just keep time? Unless it's really avoidable, can you communicate that you can't keep time? So be an honest human being with yourself. Do an audit. Accept your weaknesses and then work on them. It's no longer cute to say, that's just how I am. No, really work on yourself. Then number 9, you have to invest in people, especially if you want to build a relationship. So I really didn't think in adulting you can make friends at all. I thought I've already made my friends. Then I met people along the way and I saw how intentional they were pouring into me. You invite me for things, you invite me into your personal space or personal journey. And through that, I have learned that these people are actually awesome human beings that I want to be a part of. So I have really learned that in the adult friendships that I have made, and adult, I mean like friendships that I've made, especially in now my early 30s, it takes a lot of intentionality and you kind of have to invest in people in as much as they invest in you so that you can keep and build a relationship. Number 10, you'll never be 100% ready, whether it's for baby number one, baby number two, or for that big job, or whether it's to execute an idea, you'll never be 100% ready. Never. You just have to take the step. Number 11, sleep is important. Prioritize it. Like, a human being can't go 3 days without sleep, but I think you can go 3 days without food. So sleep is very important. Be intentional with your sleep. I became really intentional with good sleep habits after I became a mom, because that's when sleep deprivation is beyond your control. But I became very intentional, cutting off screen time for myself before bed, going to bed early, just good sleep habits and prioritizing. Sleep is important. When you don't sleep, you're a nasty human being. That's just the truth. You are low moods and everything. So you want to appear as the best version of yourself, prioritize rest. You need it. 12, accept body changes. Your 20-year-old body is not the same body that you'll have in your 30s, and that's fine. I don't know why we, like, when we're in our 20s, we were obsessed with the fact that, oh, I feel fat. And then you look now back at the photos, and you are really thin. So just accept that your body is changing. How you look now, you won't look in your 40s. How you look now, you won't look in your 50s. What matters is, are you healthy? I think that's the ground rule. Number 13, if you never ask, you will never know. And that's something I've learned from a close friend called Noni. Like, it's either a yes or a no at the end. So if you never ask, you'll just never know. So as someone who's always afraid to just approach someone, can we work together? If you really never ask, you will never know. And if it's a no on the other side, it's not going to kill you. It's just going to redirect you. Then number 14, imposter syndrome attacks that which you are very good at. That which you're actually good at, that's when imposter syndrome strikes. That's when you think, oh, am I really good at this? Will I be able to do it? When you start having feelings like that, just know that that thing is actually what you're good at and what you really value. So work hard against the imposter syndrome to do it. Yeah. Number 15, stop getting attached to money. This is something I've learned over the years, and I learned it in my money coaching sessions. Like, I'm so attached. I don't want my balance to go beyond a certain point. Those people are very happy to see money in my account just doing nothing. It could be growing, but it's just seated. And I don't think it's the healthiest. And I unlearned it in the money coaching session. And now I have been able to see what money can do for me by letting it go. So this attachment was not really healthy. I've also seen how it can grow for me by letting it go. I've also seen how I can embrace tithing, which is something I really wanted to do, by stopping the attachment. I was too attached and it's not healthy. So I think for me, that's a great lesson. Stop getting too attached to money. Then number 16, your power lies in telling your story. This is something I learned from Michelle Ayuma. I think she's an amazing storyteller. And she always said, I attended a conference where she kept saying, unless the lioness learns to write, the hunter will always take the glory. So learn to embrace your story and learn to tell your story. There's someone who gains from a misrepresentation of your story. And there's so much you will gain from telling your story because it's what uniquely makes you, you. So embrace your story, but also learn to tell it. Everyone has a story. Learn to tell it. Number 17, it will make sense one day. I say this as someone who was really, really, really confused and lost in my 20s, early 20s, career-wise. I did a course I was not so passionate at, but I was good at. I got a job I was not so passionate at, but I was good at. And then from there, I've just been trying life. You know me, I'm that person who, you want to try this? I try. You want to try content creation? I try. You want to do this? I tried. I have been a music instructor. I've been a lawyer. I've been an advocate. I've been so many things in my 20s. And I'm so glad that I tried because in my 30s, these different areas of my life are starting to actually make sense and come together. So if you are in a space where you don't even understand why you're doing the things you do, but you have to do them anyway, just know that it will make sense one day. Yeah. 18, you owe it to yourself to show up without excuses. So you don't owe anyone else but yourself, like to just show up and be very honest with yourself when you're making excuses. So many of us make excuses. Oh, I can't do this because this and this. This year when I wanted to resume content because I took a lot of break because of pregnancy complications, I had the chance to, I had an idea to have a bump style series. And I was like, I can't do this because my camera is spoiled. Then I keep hearing the words, what is in your hands? And that's what you need to use. What was in my hands was a good phone with a very good camera. And I just kicked off the series. And the series led to a lot of growth on my platform. So be honest with yourself when you're really making excuses, but just know that you owe it to yourself to actually show up for yourself. 19, stop overthinking, stop overanalyzing. And especially as a creative, we tend to do this a lot. This is my greatest, this is like my mantra this year. Just stop overthinking. If the idea has come to you, execute it. As a content creator, you can really sit with content, doubt yourself. It's not going to help. Just the content actually that you create them with least pressure, like least pressure on yourself that it has to be perfect. It's actually what does best. So just stop overthinking, stop overanalyzing, just do what you need to do. 20, do things that slow you down a little bit. I feel like in this world, we are a bit overstimulated because of the internet, because of screens. We are constantly catching up with 1,000 people on the internet. This one has done this today. This one has done that. Your brain is kind of overstimulated. But when you do things that slow you down, you start appreciating the little things in life. Things like cycling, things like swimming, things like reading a book, anything that makes you just cut off from the internet because you're taking in too much, you will start appreciating the beauty of life. So I challenged myself to even read books this year, and I love how it cut off my screen time, how it made me learn so much. Even when I started cycling last year, I was cycling like the whole of Southern Bypass. It was really, you start to notice there was a tree next to you that you never knew. You start to notice buildings, things that slow you down just make you appreciate life more. So if you can find one activity that slows your mind down, do it. Number 21. It's not the traumatic event that matters. It's what you do after. So this is especially if you're going through something really major, whether it's loss of a job, loss of a loved one, just something really traumatic in your life is happening or has happened, I learned that it's really not what has happened that matters, but what you do after. If you can be able to make the pain to fuel the purpose, then you will grow beyond it. So what happened to you didn't really happen to you, but happened for you. That's really deep right there. Think about it. Number 22, build your tribe. You need people to go far. You really need people. And this I learned from a friend. You really need people who can push you, who can say your name in greater spaces. And you have to be intentional about building that tribe. You can't move alone if you want to go far. Just be very intentional that I want to work with this person. It's something you can communicate to them. I think we can work together and work together like this and like this. There's a lot of strength in collaborating. So build your tribe. They're going to take you far. Number 23. Your money mindset matters. It really, really matters. For very many years, my mindset was stuck on there's no money in January. Like it was, I think it's a cultured thing. We call it January in Kenya, where you stay hungry. But really, your money mindset matters. I challenged myself this year to stop thinking like that, to unlearn that money mindset, that particular one. Because I remember if you were a small brand and you wanted to work with me in January, I'd already make excuses that, you know, people don't have money in January. Why can't we do this in Feb? Until this year, I decided, let me unlearn that. And I told my friend, one of my friends actually approached me and said, can we work together? I want you to do this product review. I want you to push for me this particular item for whatever I do on Instagram. And I said, okay, I'll do it. This is the rate. And she paid. But in my mind, I was just wondering, do people have money? How will we do this? And shock on me, once we did the review and she sold out on the items, I was like, people actually have money in January. So it was a good wake-up call, a good learning point to unlearn that mindset. So your money mindset really matters. 24, I don't know who needs to hear this, but go for physiotherapy, especially if you are a mom, if you are pregnant. Physiotherapy changed my life. I had body aches. I had no idea why they were happening. Carrying life within you changes the structure of your body. Be very intentional with taking care of your body. So I didn't know that you should be going for physiotherapy after a C-section, before you give birth. I didn't know all those things until I met a physiotherapist and she worked on me like, whew, it was mind-blowing. She educated me on changes that have happened to my body that I didn't even know, that were causing so much pain. Even the more I exercised, I was doing the wrong exercises. So I don't know who needs to hear this. If that back pain is not going away, just go for physio. You actually need it. Then 25, protect your space. You can't really control how people act, but you can protect your own space. You can control your own reaction. So, and this, I think, especially in marriage, where you think your partner should always act in a certain way, but you can't really control anyone and everyone. Please make peace with that, but you can control your reaction and you can decide to protect your mental health and your space. 26, difficult conversations are very difficult, but are the most necessary. I was telling a friend that just recently, I've had a very difficult conversation with my nanny, and it's not difficult because it's uncomfortable. It's just those adulting conversations of salary expectations, the coming of a new baby and everything, but they are very necessary. And it's a friend who pointed out to me that those difficult conversations, we escape them and then they cost us. For example, for her, she had lost a good nanny because she assumed she didn't want to have the difficult conversation of changing the status quo, yet she was having another baby and work was going to increase. So the nanny just left with an excuse. So for her to later just find out, it's because they never had that conversation. So if there is a lesson there, it's that difficult conversations are the most necessary. Just have them, you won't die. 27. Heal so that you are not operating from a point of trauma. I realized I was operating, especially financially, from a point of trauma. I had my money wounds. We discussed money wounds and financial trauma in season one with Juliet, who's a financial coach. And I learned so much about my money wounds and financial traumas that I had. And this clinging on money or always saying I'm broke, it was coming from a point of trauma. But now that I'm aware of where they were coming from, I have moved better. I have invested better. So learn to heal so that you're not operating from a point of trauma. 28, resist the urge to compare yourself. Your journey is uniquely yours. It is okay to be inspired, but just don't be a copycat. Just embrace your journey and stop comparing your journey to others. 29, don't belittle your ideas. Sometimes we have the craziest ideas and then we think, "Ay, that sounds a little bit crazy," but if your mind can conceive it, then you can achieve it. And no one has your mind. If you can, please build on your ideas, but never belittle them. Number 30, embrace every stage of your life rather than fighting it. I feel like just embrace it. I talked about it in my pregnancy journey that once I surrendered that, hey, the pregnancy makes me sick and it's okay, I can't work, then I stopped feeling a certain way, a certain burden of, hey, I can't work, or sadness that I can't really be as productive. So it is very important to embrace every single stage of your life rather than fight it, because it's going to help you with the next actions. So even in motherhood, every stage comes with its own challenges. I'm aware that newborn comes and it's a lot the first month. Will I fight it? I'm not sure. But you, once you embrace that this is going to happen, there's nothing that you can do about it, then you can put even systems in place to help you with the challenges that you've already embraced. But if you fight it, you'll forever be in denial and regret. 31, plan and then lead. So you've done investing in yourself. You have ideas. Plan. Just take a leap of faith, plan, and then follow the plan. If you haven't led yourself, you can't lead anyone. So work through your plan. Lead yourself through your plan. And it's okay to change the plan if it's not working. But you have to learn how to lead yourself. If you can't lead yourself, you cannot lead anyone. Finally, as we come to the end, 32, planning is necessary, but it's God who causes the increase. And this is something I learned from a Bible verse. I think I'm going to read it. Philippians 2:13. For it is not your strength, but it is God who effectively at work in you, both to will and to work, that is strengthening, energizing, and creating in you the longing and the ability to fulfill your purpose for his good pleasure. So we may plan to do so many things, but if you don't really commit it to God, you may never increase. So in whatever plan you have, I think this has been my verse for the year, commit it to God, because he's the one who will cause the increase. Is the one who will give you strength to do it, even on days when you feel like you can't really show up. Yeah, so those are my 32 little nuggets, as I have turned 32, that I'm carrying along with me in this new chapter and that I hope you can learn from. Until next time, bye-bye.